Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's time for Mark James.
I am Mark James. That's Mark with a C James. I'm the one who popularized rap music in the Western Mass suburbs in the early to mid-90s. Phony Michelle. I mean, they've been more relevant than Alicia Silverstone's acting career. Chris Frail. I've known Michael Irvin for 16, 17 years. University of Miami fam. We're good like that.
Kyrie Irving.
I'm very good friends with Steph Curry, as you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, shout out to Charles Manson.
Next star here at WEEI. That, of course, is Mark with a C, James.
Mark F'n James.
Star for attention, fame-seeking loser. Ordinary Hayward. I'm going to call him Brad Farrell, because he's actually John Farrell without a ring.
And I think one thing.
Exactly.
So your turkeys of the year,
Barbados Belichick.
Byrie Irving.
You can take the R away. He's turning to Chris Fail.
Mark James, right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Boy, I looked like a prophet, right? I looked omniscient on Chris Frail, huh? Or Chris Fail. You take the R away. How's he looking in those last three starts? Giving up 15 earned runs in his last three starts. All losses. All of them. Red Sox are like 6-14 in his starts this year. He is bad. We'll get to that. That's a whole nother story. We're talking about the Landon Roberts situation, which happened down in Texas back in March. Now he has filed a harassment inquiry. I didn't see harassment on the initial thing, but there's a much longer version of the dash cam video footage, which is like close to 16 minutes long. So I want to know why the ticket was dismissed. Why? Joe in West Hampton. Joe, what's up?
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Good, Joe.
A little Western Mass love for you. And I agree, they should have something in Springfield for you. Maybe in that new waterfront park.
You know, like, what the hell, man? I mean, they've got to do something sooner than later. And they got a mural for Travis Best. Just put a little plaque up for me. Something somewhere.
We were going to talk to Sarno or something.
Yeah.
But anyways, I was wondering, maybe, is it possible that he released this to show people how to de-escalate the situation? Is that maybe one of the reasons that it came out now? Because he, you know, instead of getting...
Right. You know, no, I see what you mean, but it still doesn't explain why that, you know, the ticket was dismissed. You're talking about going, yeah. I mean, 24 miles over the speed limit and just, oh, no, you don't have to go to court. Oh, no, nothing to see here. You're fine. Bye. It's like I wonder if it was twofold because of his position on the New England Patriots and the fact that, you know, obviously there's this huge thing that's been going on for years now, but more prominent now that you've seen of law enforcement mistreating African Americans at traffic stops. And maybe they looked at both of those things. Oh, you won a Super Bowl with Brady and Belichick and the Patriots. Oh, he's black. Oh, that's twofold. That's a nightmare. But here's the thing. So they did, like, they tried to overcompensate, and now look where they are. Now they're still getting crucified.
Maybe it's like they saw the crap stuff blow up in their face, and they just wanted to get rid of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just want to know why it was dismissed.
Yeah.
All right, Joe.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe they saw the Kraft case and how it blew up in the police space over there. They just wanted to say, let's just squash it.
This happened a month after Kraft. So, but it came out, you know, but it didn't become an issue until now when he filed a harassment inquiry. That's the thing. House in Dorchester. What's up, House?
How you doing? Good. First off, I enjoy your show.
Thank you,
House. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I want to get to the
By the way, House, the you point. Know that you do know that I popularized rap music in the Western Mass suburbs in the early to mid-90s, right?
Hey, you know what?
Yep.
When you said that, I heard you on when you was on the other show when you said that, I said, well, You know, that's a good thing. You helped a lot of people out.
And listen, I'm still heartbroken that Public Enemy, on their Fear of a Black Planet tour, they canceled their concert at the Springfield Civic Center way back in the early night. It kills me to this day. I wanted to see them so bad.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
But check this out. Let me say this to you. Now, the thing about this is, first off, okay, if he was speeding, he should have got a ticket, right?
Yep.
But as far as the proof of insurance, the man pulled him over in his driveway. So how far did he follow him before he got to anywhere? He got in his driveway.
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out. See, that's a good point. Right.
He clearly said, sir, I have proof of insurance in my bag, in my house. And number one, here's the thing. People don't trust the police. You know why? I'm glad you put me on after the officer, because it's of the blue code. All right. So people don't trust the police, and the police are never going to say another policeman is wrong. I believe that fully, wholeheartedly. They're not going to do that. They're going to look out for each other in wrong situations and in right situations. He did this. Simply, Orlando Roberts did this. He should have did it. But he did it because I believe he was trying to bring light to the fact that they pulled him over for nothing. Okay? If they say he was speeding, now, like the guy said, prove it. Prove it. And if you can't prove it, then you can't say he's speeding. Let's deal with the facts, the burden of proof. If you did not give him a ticket, leave speeding out of it, because it's all hypothetical. Now, let's get to the point.
Well, if he wasn't speeding, then why'd they pull him over?
Okay, here we go. So, and then the first thing he says is he's not complying. So
that's a lie. That's a lie.
What did he say?
No, the cop was lying when he said he wasn't complying, because Landon Roberts did everything that you could.
He's covering himself.
Yep.
Let me say, he's covering himself in case of a foul play. That's what I believe. Because, number one, he's seen a black man in an expensive car. Okay? He's seen a black man in an expensive, very expensive car at nighttime in a prominent neighborhood. And he doesn't know that he's a football star. So 9 times out of 10, when you see that, they don't think he's a high corporate man. They don't think that he's coming from a family inheritance. The first thing they think, he's a drug. He sells drugs or something. So his first defense is he's not complying.
Get back in the car.
A very big black man. And the officer said that if he said that, he would have said he's a white man. No, he wouldn't have. He would have said we have a male Caucasian. That's what they say. We have a male Caucasian. See, it's the trust thing. It's the blue code. The police is in a state because of disarray with the community because of the blue code. Because they won't tell when another officer is doing something wrong, but they expect the community to tell when they see something wrong. And the community's not going to do any of that because they don't trust the officers. Because the officers are going to squeeze. That's it.
House, I always appreciate your candid honesty, transparency. The one thing I will say, and, you know, I've never heard of anybody getting a, you know, it's funny, too. Third time I'm going to bring this guy up on the air today, Vince McMahon. That Vince McMahon was, there was a story that he was driving through Columbus, Ohio, and he got stopped by a cop. Jim Ross was in the car with him, and the cop, you know, seeing it was Vince McMahon, got his license, gave Vince McMahon the ticket. And, like, this police department just dropped the ticket. Just dropped it. So, like, how do you just drop a ticket? You don't, like, you're not even supposed to have the autonomy to be able to do that. Usually at that point, once you write the ticket, it's in the system. It's processing for courts. John and Revere. Go ahead, John.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Mark. Mark, I'm just getting back from the Cape, so I'm literally just getting all the info now within the last couple of hours. But the only thing that I could see wrong was the officer's verbalization as on the radio, describing him as a big black man. I don't know what Texas.
Now, I first had an issue with that too, John, but like if it was a big, if it was Richie Incognito, he would say it's a big white man. I mean, that one, I'm old. The problem I had was that the cop lied saying that Landon Roberts did not comply, and he did comply.
He certainly did comply. I listened to the tapes. I've been home for a couple of hours now. I've listened to the tapes. Never in 30 years in my career have I ever described anybody as a big black man, a big white man, or whatever.
Oh, so you're a cop?
Never.
John, are you a cop?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so what would you have described the Landon Roberts as?
Okay, well, first of all, it's a civil infraction, and I don't know if Texas has manual data terminals within their cruisers. I don't know that. Most departments in Massachusetts have MDTs, which prior to the stop, you can actually punch in the license plate number, and you're going to get all that information before you even initiate the stop. You're going to call in on your radio. You're going to say, hey, listen, 123 to control. I'm off with mass tag 123456. Okay? It's going to be on a gray Nissan. Control is going to get that information. They're going to ascertain what, and they're going to broadcast back to you whether there's warrants anything like that. But let's not forget, this is a civil infraction. At least in Massachusetts for speeding. I can't see it. I don't know what the laws are in Texas. I can't comment.
So, John, let me ask you, what should the cop have described the Landon Roberts as? What?
How about this? I'm off with mass plate 123456, and it's a gray Nissan. How about wait for that information to come back to you and say negative on the negative warrants active on the registration. Okay, so now the officer has the discretion to go up to the car and either issue the ticket or maybe educate the driver and say, hey, listen, you were doing 54 in a 35 mile an hour zone. Okay, he doesn't have the proof of insurance. Once the wife came out, you could have kept the driver at the scene, no problem. Everything was compliant up to that point. But if the operator of the vehicle is telling you, hey, listen, I have the insurance, okay, maybe at the discretion of the officer, allow the wife to go back into the house and get that information. Maybe call for backup and a second unit. Hey, there's no problem having a second unit in there. Officer safety and whatnot. I have no problem with that, but describing him as a big black man, I've been through de-escalation training, bias training. I've been through it all, my friend.
Wow.
And never.
And how long have you been a
situation?
John, how long have you been a cop?
30 years.
Wow.
30 years.
Wow. So my initial reaction along with, that I had was there seemed to be some racial undertones there. Am I right?
Absolutely. I picked up on that, and that's based on my training, post-training from the academy on bias training and de-escalation training and whatnot. I picked up on that, and maybe because the officer was young, just out of the academy, I don't know what time of night it was, but you know what? Hey, what's the problem with getting on the radio and saying, hey, listen, can you start a second unit down here? What's the problem with that? You know, okay. And I have no problem with that at all. I just feel that what the officer said at that point was a little biased in judging him as a man. In the prior caller, the gentleman, I think he was from Dorchester, as far as the code goes, that's changing. I mean, I really want that man to know that the law enforcement world is changing. We had the Charlestown Code. I don't know if you remember that, Mark, back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, where, you know, you just didn't speak.
Well, just like, in the movie The Town, I know it was a movie, but when Ben Affleck and Jeremy Renner, when they robbed a bank and the cop was right there and he saw them getting out of the car, he just turned the other way. That was the code you were speaking of.
Man, I got to tell you something. That cop was probably close to retirement, and I don't know if I would have done that. I mean, knowing my personality, I probably would have maybe turned ahead at the...
Wow.
I don't know what I would have done. You don't know. I can't come... Every situation evolves within a split second, Mark. A split second.
All right, John, I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate your point of view and for calling in. From a legal perspective... we're going to bring in a guy who certainly, no stranger if you follow on Twitter for his, well, I'll let him say it, outstanding coverage of the Patriots, but he says it in a better way. And he's also a lawyer. So he's in the house here right now at WEI, the great William Bennetson, his Twitter handle, William Bennetson Patriots. Now, you are a lawyer, Will. Your thoughts on this whole situation?
Yeah, I watched the video, Mark. I didn't see... harassment is sort of this nebulous thing. What is it? What isn't it? I think he could have been more professional. I agree with the officer that it's weird to describe a guy as a big black man. But on the other hand, I don't know if Alandon Roberts has a strong enough claim for harassment. I've certainly seen a lot worse police conduct. As you said, if he wasn't speeding, he shouldn't have been pulled over. It sounds like he was going 24 miles an hour more than the speed limit. So the cop certainly has the right to go, certainly has the right to pull him over. And I think the courts tend to give cops latitude in these situations as long as they're behaving reasonably. Because cops have to make split-second decisions. Maybe he did get nervous because of the race or because of Alandon Roberts' size. I don't know. Asking him to get back in the car, it didn't seem like Alandon Roberts behaved unreasonably or anything like that. He was peaceful. There was no reason, you know, it didn't seem like he was even threatening or with a weapon or anything like that.
Alandon Roberts, after allegedly speeding, going 24 miles an hour over the speed limit in the residential neighborhood, he was completely, totally compliant. He did nothing wrong.
Yeah, and he seemed to listen to everything the cop did.
Right, he did. Let me ask you this. Why then was this ticket dismissed by the police department? That's a very rare occurrence for a ticket to just be ripped up. Like, it's one thing for a parking ticket, okay?
Yeah, exactly. But parking tickets get ripped up all the time.
Okay, yeah. Even the ones I get that I can't get dismissed, I rip them up. I don't pay parking tickets. Sorry, City of Miami and Tampa.
And then people move to another state or city.
Exactly.
And forget about it. Right. Change the license plate. Right. They can't track
you. Yeah, whatever. Keep sending stuff to me all you want. You're not going to get...
Poor Miami. They can't feed the kids because Mark James didn't pay his parking tickets.
Why is he filing a harassment inquiry? What does he hope to gain by this?
Well, that's the interesting thing. I mean, I think there's a perception out there that, you know, you just sue and maybe you'll get money. He says his gain isn't financial. I mean, what could his gain be? I mean, the only other motive could be that he wants the officer to face discipline, some sort of discipline, whether it's being suspended, which I think is the most could be based on watch the video, or dismissed.
But even the officer who just called in from Revere, who said, because I've never heard this guy, like, I don't know. From
but I agreed with your point. If it was Richie Incognito, they might say a big white man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think he meant it.
If it was Yao Ming, they'd say a tall Asian guy.
I have to acknowledge I'm white, so maybe somebody black watching it has a different perspective, but it didn't seem like he was describing him as a black man in a derogatory term.
No.
You know, I've seen police reports written up where it's a white man, a black man. It's just a simple identifier. I've seen them people described as Asian. You know, they have to identify. You know, it sounded like the officer was nervous. Maybe he had been working a long shift. And so he told him to get back in the car. You know, he seemed to radio in that he was... The one weird thing was he radioed in that he wasn't being compliant and he had to yell. I didn't think at all Alandon Roberts wasn't compliant, and I didn't really think he had to yell. When the officer, you know, sort of said in a stern voice, as officers speak to you, he did what the officer said. So I don't really think that, you know, what Alandon Roberts did wrong. As for the harassment case, I mean, I would just say cases against the police and state and municipalities, you know, are very tough to win. So if he thinks that he's going to win some sort of big civil damages, I just don't see it. I mean, even cases where what they call 1983 actions, which are wrongful death or actions against the police civilly, even when people have died because they've been shot or whatever, most of the time the plaintiff, the person suing, the victim's family, even if they've been killed, have trouble winning because courts generally give the police wide latitude in their conduct. So even if Alandon Roberts were to take this to court, I think he would have a very hard time getting civil damages. Anyone that knows anything about the litigation process knows it takes a long time, so it wouldn't be something he would gain quickly. So I think more his inquiry is, I don't think, you know, he says he doesn't have a financial incentive. I believe him. I think more his motive is probably
to raise awareness.
And get the officer disciplined. I think that
Here's the thing. The one thing I will say, and whether it's right or wrong, the officer describing him to a colleague as a big black male, that's not harassment.
No.
Never
that's
in 30
not,
years in
well,
my career
first of all,
have I ever described anybody as a big black man.
First of all, how can that be harassment? Alandon Roberts didn't hear that. He's describing, he's radioing that in.
Right.
You have
to
hear something, or harassment has to be unforced contact.
Right.
And that causes substantial emotional distress. If you look up the definition of harassment, So how can he say he was substantially emotionally distressed for something that he didn't hear? So I think that's cherry picking it from a Landon Roberts perspective. I just don't see a harassment here. I mean, was the officer's conduct perfect? John, who was on, would he have handled the situation better than this Texas officer? Probably yes. Yeah. He sounds like he's a great officer. Yeah. But I don't see the I just don't see the harassment, especially because Randall Roberts didn't hear him describe him as a big black man. Now he can go back on the tape and say he hears it now, but I think you have to look at where was the harassment.
Now we also need to mention when he told Landon Roberts' wife Tori to go back in the house, she then proceeded, I don't know how much longer after that, to open the other garage door. So if you're a cop and another garage door opens, like the one thing I'm thinking of is someone's coming out like Tony Montana at the end of the movie Scarface and going to go like, say hello to my little friend. And like, you don't know when that other door opens, you're like, what the bleep is going on here?
Yeah.
Especially after you told her stay inside and that other door opens, that can become a very untenable situation.
It's always a tricky issue when an officer is on somebody's personal property, which obviously was the case here. It's Landon Roberts' house, his wife's house. You know,
and it wasn't your prototypical traffic stop where it's on the side of the highway.
Exactly. So she has the right to be on her property. And what if she's not a threat to the officer? Why is she ordering him? I see no threat from the wife. And so I think that's a little weird.
But wait. You see no threat from the wife from whose perspective?
From the officer. I mean,
but you don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what's in the officer's head. I'm just saying, like, I don't think, you know, you need a warrant to search a house, obviously.
Right.
Basic Fourth Amendment law. And there was no grounds here. There's no reason to believe that and there are exceptions to the warrant requirement, like if there's a really exigent, dangerous circumstances. I don't see that here where the officer could have, searched the house. But look, it's an unfortunate situation, but I just don't see the harassment claim, and I highly doubt the Houston police or whatever.
Fort
Bend County police in Texas, they've probably seen a lot worse incidents than this. At most, I could see them giving the officer some sort of minor discipline.
Yeah.
2 weeks, you know, leave where they pay him or paid leave or whatever. I just don't see the police force giving him much discipline. And if they did, it might not be because they wanted to do it, because they're caving to public pressure.
Now, that's a great point you just brought up.
Which is always unfortunate in these cases when you cave. I mean, the discipline should be he should be treated like a normal officer. Well, you know, if this wasn't a Landon Roberts, linebacker that just won the Super Bowl.
And therein lies that. He should be treated like a normal officer, and Landon Roberts should be treated like a normal human being, not a guy who won a Super Bowl with the Patriots, because they just dismissed the ticket. Like, I never.
That has to concern you if you're a normal citizen.
If I lived anywhere near Fort Bend County and I sped, I'm like, oh, okay, are you going to dismiss my ticket like you did a Landon Roberts?
And it sounds like they
dismissed. Hey, I cover the Patriots. Right?
Exactly. Nobody dismisses a ticket for me because I got best Patriots coverage in the business.
No, nobody does that.
You know, I want to tell the officer next time I'm pulled over, best officer in the business. But no, I think it has to concern you because it doesn't sound like there was even an inquiry. It was just dismissed. So
we'll take your phone calls.
One thing if there was a trial and it was dismissed after the evidence. This was just dismissed pre-proceeding.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Nothing to look at here. That's it. All right, Mark James experience. Will the Thrill Benditson is in the house giving a legal perspective.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
Hip-hop, 617-779-7937. Mark James here in the house till 4 o'clock. Brian Barrett will be coming up on after 4 o'clock. He'll take you up to Red Sox pregame till 6. Will Fleming and then Joe Castig and Sean McDonough. They will have the call on the finale. Will the Thrill Benditson. His Twitter handle is
William Patriots.
William Patriots. And you, what is your trademark?
Best Patriots coverage in the business. This is William Benditson, best Patriots coverage in the business. You know, all the people on Twitter now, whatever I do, like last night I was at the Red Sox game, and I wrote, great night for baseball, and somebody wrote, best night in the business. So people are always coming up with things, you know?
Someone DM'd me on Twitter, goes, hey, Mark, what do you think about this one? Alex can't score a runa-cora. No. It was Alex Can't Scora. That's what it was.
Very good.
Alex Can't Scora. You know, so I'm like, you know, it is what it is. All right, let's get back to the phones. Paul's up in the 413 Westfield. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Mark, how are you? Good.
Good. You got to take us off speaker or whatever, or Bluetooth or whatever.
Is that better?
Yes.
Much better.
Much better.
Big Mark James pet peeve. Do not talk on speaker.
Yes, yes. Will can back up on that one. Go ahead. You're good, Paul.
Let me do my closing comment after my quick intro.
Yep.
I've heard the people call in. I heard the police. Here's the reality. My cousin and his partner were cops. We waited for the family dinner picnic. Instead, we had two funerals. They pulled over a car and got assassinated. The guys ran. It happens all the time. When a cop pulls someone into their yard, they don't know it's their yard. He doesn't know the guy's name. He hasn't gotten any information. So in the event of the unlikely worst incident, which happens all the time, you describe a big black guy because you don't have any other way to describe. If something goes down, they show up, there's the suspect description. It's not racist. It's not bigoted. It's protocol. So when you show up and you walk out on an RO responding officer and someone else shows up that's interfering with, and also to produce danger.
Hey, Paul, your phone is coming in really bad. It was a bad connection. I hate to do that to you.
The thing I wanted to say about Paul is there's no question that the officers face a lot of danger, and that's why I mentioned in these actions against the cops, they're very tough to win because people know it's dangerous. You don't know who has a gun. You don't know who has a knife, who can be threatening. So the officers have to make split-second decisions. Courts have said that numerous times, and Paul is right. Sadly, officers have been killed in the line of duty. That said, you can't every time an officer does something just say his job is difficult, so we're never going to discipline, we're never going to criticize. What we need is a healthy dialogue in society about what is proper police conduct, what isn't proper police conduct, and different groups based on history have a different view of the police. And like I said, I agree with Paul. I don't think based on listening to the video, and this is just my perspective, that he meant it in a derogatory term. He's just using a descriptor. It's in the heat of the moment in terms of he's radioing into his, you know, the station, who his captain or whoever his boss is. So I don't think he meant it in a derogatory sense. That said, I think for the officer to say that he was sort of threatening
the officer said he wasn't complying.
Yeah,
that was
say he wasn't complying, I think was a little much. That said, do I think because the officer wasn't perfect, if you had to grade his conduct, you wouldn't give him an A here, that he should be disciplined? No, I don't. So, I mean, I just think this is one of these situations. I don't think the officer was that bad, and I don't think Landon Roberts has a harassment claim.
All right, let's go back to the phones, and Bob in the North End is up next. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Mark. Lucy. Nice to talk to you.
Hey.
Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
You were asking the question about how the ticket probably got dropped. I mean, I have a theory on that, and I'd almost bet my life on it. A lot of these teams, and I'm sure you're aware of this, have like, usually like, in the Patriots case, I'm guessing like maybe a retired state trooper who does a lot of security for them. I think you were working a few weeks ago when the Ortiz, the guy that was working with the Red Sox, was talking about the David Ortiz incident. I believe he was a Boston police officer. Were you working that morning? I think you were answering some questions.
Was I there?
I thought it was you.
Okay, I could have been there. I could have been. It doesn't ring a bell, but go ahead.
Anyways, I mean, like I was saying, there's usually like a retired cop that does the security for the team or whatever the team is, the Celtics, the Bruins. And a lot of times they'll squash a lot of things like that, you know, in-house. I'm guessing like whoever the person was for the Patriots probably talked to this cop that was on duty, and they probably handled it. You know, the next day they get on the phone, and then they said, okay, let's just let this go, and they drop it. One cop to another. And I'm just guessing that's how that probably went down. You were wondering
interesting. So you think,
I'd almost spent my life on that.
You think the Patriots and their security department possibly could have been involved? Like, just they could have said, hey, this is he's a law-abiding citizen. He doesn't do anything wrong. And they might have just said, okay, fine. And I'm sure the sheriff in Fort Bend County probably like, listen, we don't need any issues with a New England Patriot, a Super Bowl champion guy who's a local kid from right here in Texas, because I think that's where Landon Roberts is from.
Yeah, I think
cop to another, and like I said, I almost bet my life on that. I mean, that's, you know, whatever, this doesn't have to go to court. It's a pretty simple thing, you know, open and close case, and I'd almost bet that's how it went down.
I think the caller is correct, and a couple of
thanks,
senses.
Bob.
in a couple of senses. One is that the Patriots, like most teams, are very image conscious, especially after Aaron Hernandez, the stuff that the owner went through. So I think the last thing they want is another player embroiled in some sort of legal controversy, one. Two, they do have security people, these teams, that monitor what's going on with the players. In theory, there was a criticism of Aaron Hernandez during that whole thing. You know, should the Patriots have known more what he was up to? What exactly was the role? There was a big dispute about that as to, you know, did the Patriots do their due diligence? Because clearly Hernandez wasn't behaving prior to him committing the murders. So he probably committed two murders the year before he ended up getting off. But so I think the Patriots are monitoring. Do they talk to the people in Texas? I don't know. They, you know, Landon Roberts could have had a lawyer. They could have gotten advice. It also could be simpler than that. The lawyer could just, you know, he could do a lot of these traffic cases in the county, and he knows the people. He knows how to work it. He got a good lawyer, and the lawyer was able to have the ticket dropped before a trial.
Ralph in Cranston. Hey, what's up, Ralphie?
Hey, Mike. We talked a little bit about
that line. Ralph, it wasn't you. It was us. We have a line, one of our lines, where you call in and you say, and it's not you, because we had it the other day with with Brad in San Diego, and you sound like Alvin the Chipmunk on the air, and it's not him. Call back in another line. I was like, oh no, that one's not going very well on that. Overall, the thing about this is sort of a molehill being made into a mountain.
Oh, I totally agree. I just don't. I mean, look, it's July.
Right.
We're all tired of talking about baseball.
Well,
what is there? You know what
I
mean?
Right. Like, we're training camp starts in a couple weeks. Right.
NBA free agency is over. The NBA had a great week the first week of July with free agency, all the movement, even into the second week. But now there's not much to talk about. So I think this is a molehill being made into a mountain. I think any time, though, with the NFL, particularly the Patriots, there's a law enforcement incident, it's going to get a lot of attention. Just because of the history, just because of what's happened to certain guys over the years, what's with the owner, just because of how image conscious they are. And I think, to be honest with you, this is where I think sometimes the Patriots hurt themselves a little bit in terms of, you know, always saying, you know, we want model players, model franchise, et cetera. And then when you have these incidences, they're covered more because people are looking at, oh, we got you. You're not the model this. You're not the model that. You know what I'm saying? I think so. When you project yourself, people are always looking to kind of put down the people that project, you know, put themselves on that pedestal and that perch.
Yep. We got Ralph and Cranston's back, and I'm sure he'll sound like he's Barry White. There you go, Ralphie. What's up?
Thank you, Mark. First of all, I think that race had something to do with this thing not going forward. They probably looked at it, too. He's a patriot. You know, he's an African-American. Let's just get rid of this ticket. Who needs the nonsense? And I also think that there could be someone with a possible agenda with Robert saying, you know what, you got to make something of this. And you know, not everybody wants to see racism end. But very quickly, there's an attorney, Mark, in our office who was a police officer before he became an attorney. And he got a call at night, two black guys had just robbed a place on Broad Street in Providence. And he seen them walking through at 2 o'clock in the morning, seen guys matching the description and stopped them. Now, he put one on one side of the cruiser, one on the other. A park ranger came now, two of them, and he's telling this park ranger, one of these guys takes a gun out of his pants, blows the park ranger away. This happened 20 years ago. Killed him instantly. Shot my business partner twice. This attorney was shot twice. Survived. He became the officer of the year. But, you know, I look at it sometimes and I say, well, what if these weren't the guys? And he stopped them. In this day and age, you might have said, well, you know what? But they were the guys. They're both serving 99 years on this sentence. And that's a true story. But you know what? I have to say, and there's another attorney that I work with that tells all his clients, criminal defense attorney, they get the guns and the badges. Just sit there, be compliant with them. And then if they violate anything, we'll take care of it later. But you always have to understand that those cops, they're human too. A cop stopping someone has two kids at home. You think he's going to take a chance? And what if it wasn't Landon Roberts and that guy got out of the car and killed him? Wouldn't you want at least a description of who you stop? So
This was for all things considered, and we've seen a lot of stuff with over the course of the last 5 to 10 years with people with cell phones go wrong and cops shooting. There was the guy, I want to say his last name was Gardner in New York City, who said, I can't breathe. Eric Gardner, maybe? I can't breathe.
That video went viral.
It went viral, and the cops killed him. Jamal's up next in my hometown, Springfield. What's up, Jamal?
All right. I got a question for you.
Yep.
I'm driving my car. I know I'm speeding, right? No one knows whether Landon had a couple of drinks or not. None of that has been established. You guys are
Jamal, you can't wait, hold on a second. You can't just, unless there's some sort of evidence that he did, I think it's unfair to say, well, nobody knows. I mean, people are presumed innocent until guilty.
I think he knows he was speeding.
Yeah, okay? Speeding, yeah. But there's no evidence.
Landon knows he was speeding, but he doesn't see any lights flashing until he pulls into his driveway, right?
Right. So we don't have any problem with him getting out of the car because it's normally what you do
when you're at home.
Exactly. Right. But here's what I think what's being missed is we're saying, well, it's no big deal because, like you guys said, well, I think we're making a mountain out of a molehill. This is a black guy. He's as aware of the history of what's been going on over the past 5 years as anybody in this country. His feelings are a lot different than a white guy pulling out of his car. Getting out of his car.
Absolutely.
Great point, Jamal.
Great point, Jamal. You're right.
The cop is shouting at his wife.
Yep.
He's pissed at that point, but he's trying to keep it together.
Yep.
All right. Now, for somebody to say that, well, you know what, the cop followed procedure. I think the cop blew it by not pulling him over on the road. Let's see, allowed Landon to
a residential neighborhood, Jamal.
Say that again?
It was in his neighborhood. It wasn't like...
Exactly, but he still needed to make the stop on the street. Because once
Jamal, going 59 and 35, I'm not sure maybe the cop could have... You know, here's the thing. Like, I see what you're saying, but going 59 and 35, that's kind of tough to catch. So the cop probably, wanted to see where he was going, and then... I mean, it's a little nebulous. What can you say? That's the one of the things.
I think he needed to put on his flashers on the street so Landon sees him. Landon knew he was speeding. You know when you're speeding.
I mean, Jamal's making a good point in the sense that maybe he could have pulled him over sooner.
And I think once he got into his driveway, he felt he had beat it. And then the lights flash on once he gets out of his car. That's when the thing goes sideways.
Interesting. Okay? Interesting theory.
But the cop is not necessarily doing anything illegal by following him for a while and then pulling him over in his house. Yeah, I agree with you. He probably should have done it before, but he didn't do anything necessarily illegal.
Fair enough. Final segment. You want to get in, Mark James, Will, the Thrill, Bennetson, 617-779-7937.
Talking illegal stuff.
Illegal stuff. That's why we are in. Not to mention, you're the best Patriots. So we got Patriots and legal. You're a real life. You are licensed in Massachusetts and
District of Columbia.
Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Wow. How about that? All right. Final segment coming up next.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
All right, final segment. Mark with a C James. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is Mark James, M-A-R-C James. Very simple. Yours is William Patriots. You got to turn your mic on.
William Patriots.
What are you
Patriots coverage in the Mississippi. The subscriptions are flying off the hook. And let me tell you, we have a promotion right now at bestpatchcoverage.com. Again, that's bestpatchcoverage.com. You buy a lifetime subscription, $49.99. You get a signed copy of my book.
Wow.
Signed copy. Bill Parcells wrote the foreword. I went out to Canton, Ohio to see Bill Belichick's game plan from the 90s Super Bowl between the Giants
and Bills.
How many people in this town, this city, this country have viewed a live Bill Belichick game plan? He sent that game plan to the Hall of Fame. I flew all the way out to Canton, Ohio with Leonard Marshall, the guy who's famous for knocking out Joe Montana, that hit in the 90 NFC Championship game against the Niners. And it's been great. A lot of people have been signing up. It's really been fun. It's
good.
Been a way I can do Patriots coverage the way I want. I'm my own boss. I don't have to listen to anyone else with the videos. It's been a blast.
Yeah, and especially like when you did the video in front of Cheesecake Factory in Burlington. Yeah. That was really good.
Yeah.
That was very good. All right. Let's grab a phone call here. Paul Westfield. Paul, what's up, Paul?
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Hey, good. We got you back. Yeah. Yo, we can hear you perfectly now. Go ahead.
Mark, when my cousins were killed, and this is how people looked at things and the way they didn't understand the investigation, they let the shooter out of prison. It was the worst fraud of the century. So I'm not speaking in terms of white or black. It's called right and wrong. And when the cop pulls someone over in their yard or their house, it's most dangerous. When a person gets out of our car quickly, it's usually a sign they don't want you looking in or smelling what's in the car. So
yeah.
You've got two red flags, and the garage door opens. And Mark, he didn't hear him being called a big black guy. That was a suspect
right.
description.
No, I know.
A name.
Yep.
Yeah, I pointed that out.
Yep.
Right, and here's the other thing. The cop really kind of threw himself under the bus. When an officer senses these red flags and he issues a lawful command, they're supposed to raise their voice, called lawful command. And when you don't obey, that's actually an arrestable offense. He gets in the car and says, I had to raise my voice to the guy, which is a part of the job. So he seems almost upfront and honest. And he felt uncomfortable about what was going on and basically is calling for backup. So when you look at that from their viewpoint, you know, it was a different angle. And Mark, thank you. You mentioned the kid with the phone at night. All the cops said was, show me your hands at night. He said it three times. I saw the video. He turned and then got shot. If you just put your hands up and drop the phone, they don't know it's not a phone. And the worst one of all was in Ferguson, the independent coroner from the parents said their kid had gunpowder residue on his arm, a flashbang. So he got shot at 20 feet after 40 feet. And then at point blank, because he was really going after the cop, and they said that was hands up, don't shoot. So sometimes there's two sides to the story.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
No, Paul, you're making a good point. I just think there are limits, and you have to look at every situation when the court looks at them as an attorney is fact specific. And I think that there are, you know, every situation, if the cop is using deadly force, the courts have been clear that he has to be reasonable. He has to have felt his life was in danger, et cetera. So certainly when he just gets out of the car, is it reasonable to think your life is in danger? Probably not. Now, if he motions into his pocket or it looks like he has a weapon, then maybe, yes, it is reasonable to use deadly force. But, you know, we want cops to be very careful before they use deadly force. Thankfully, that wasn't an issue here. On the scale of incidents, this is minor. Nobody was hurt. So,
yeah, the interesting way you explained it, and I like how you didn't use too much legalese on
the
air.
No, I try not to.
No, that's which is good. So, you know, and then listen, this whole situation, I'm just surprised because considering how a lot of traffic stops are things that really, like the Michael Bennett shooting thing, was completely different.
Completely
there was an active shooter. On the grounds, they're in a casino in Vegas, and Michael Bennett's weaving in and out of by slot machines and hiding, and the cops are telling everybody, get down on the ground, and he didn't obey. So there's that. Will the Thrill, Bennetson, it's always a pleasure to have you come by and shed some legal light and some...
Yeah, you know, normally you come on sports radio, you think you're going to talk Patriots, and today we get to talk illegal. So that's been great. I love talking legal.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff out of you. You can follow him, William Patriots,
and
on Twitter.
BestPatsCoverage.com. Again, BestPatsCoverage.com. And we have a promotion, Lifetime Pass. You get a signed book. So.
Yeah, and Nick, great job out of you. Stay tuned next. Brian Barrett will be next from 4 to 6. Take you up to Red Sox pregame, which starts with Will Fleming. And then first pitch is coming up with Joe Kostig and Sean McDonough, 7:05, Dodgers. And Red Sox, Hyun-Jin Ryu, one of the best pitchers in baseball, versus David Price. Great game
tonight.
Great
matchup. Hopefully be a better game than last night.
Yeah, it can't be any worse. All right, have
last
a great one, folks.
Dreadful.
Stay tuned next. Brian Barrett coming up next on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.